For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. 2 Corinthians 4:5. And now the message from the pulpit of Wealthy Park Baptist Church of Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Genesis chapter 22, we are back in the life of Abraham. If you recall in Genesis chapter 21, Isaac was finally born after all those many years of promise, and after it seemed impossible, God allowed Sarah, 90 years old, to have a son. And his name, of course, was Isaac. And then in Genesis chapter 22, after many years of silence, we come to this story here of human sacrifice. Of course, I put a question mark there because we all know the end, okay? But after this many years of silence, this is what happens here in Genesis chapter 22. You should be there by now, and look down at verse 1 with me, and we'll go through this together. It says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham," or test Abraham, "and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seeds as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And it came to pass after these things, that it was told Abraham, saying, Behold, Milcah hath also borne children unto thy brother Nahor. Huz his firstborn, and Buz his brother, and Kemuel the brother of Aram, and Chesed, and Hazo, and Pildash, and Jidlaf, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begat Rebekah. These eight Milcah did bear to Nahor, Abraham's brother. And his concubine, whose name was Rumah, also bare Teba, and Gaham, and Tashesh, and Makkah. Sorry, Mark. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we love you very much. And as we spend some time around your word this morning, we ask that you would help us to set aside all those things that are on our minds and on our hearts right now and focus on the message that you have for us today. That it would be your words, Lord, and not ours. That you would give us encouragement and strength. That you would challenge us where we need to be challenged. And that you would help us to be ready to receive it. And we thank you, Lord, for your Son. And for the picture of him that we find in this passage. And we pray all these things in his name. Amen. This chapter here of Genesis chapter 22, we can divide into three sections. The first section is verses 1 through 10. Abraham is put to the test. He's put to the test. And then we find God providing the substitute, verses 11 through 14. And it kind of ends on a blessing note here, Genesis chapter 22 does. Promises and blessings in verses 15 through 24. This is a famous passage of the Bible. It's a famous test that Abraham had to go through here. We all learned about this in Sunday school, if we were fortunate enough to grow up in Sunday school. But we find Abraham, after many years of silence, he's put to the test. It says in verse 1, "And it came to pass after these things." After these things, time had passed. We don't know exactly how many years had passed at this point, but it had been several years since God and Abraham had a face-to-face experience. Many believe that Isaac was somewhere between 20 and 30 years old when this happened. He was not a little boy, okay? He was somewhere between 20 to 30 years old. At the very least, he was a teenager, at the very least. We get to this conclusion based on a few things. In the next chapter, I hate to give you spoilers here, but I guess you could always read ahead. But in the next chapter, Sarah dies. And she dies when Isaac is 37 years old. And no passage of time is indicated between chapters 22 and 23. So it's a reasonable estimate to say that Isaac was between 20 to 30 years old. Here we find Abraham tested. Abraham tested. After all this time had passed, God comes to Abraham and says, "Take now thy son," verse 2, "thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Our Bible says tempt, and over the years we've given tempt a negative connotation, but this means to test, to try. This is a trial. This is not God tempting to do evil, because we learn that God can't do that. The New Testament says that God cannot tempt men. But this means he put Abraham to the test. He brought a trial into Abraham's life. We know by this point that Abraham was becoming a great man of faith, and now his faith was about to be tested. And so after many years of silence, God approaches Abraham with his test. And the terms of this test are these. He says, "Take your son, Isaac, the son of the promise," the one that they had waited for so many years, was the object of this test. We have to remember that Ishmael was completely out of the picture now. Hagar and Ishmael were living out in the wilderness. They had been banished. He's completely out of the picture. Abraham had no contact with him. And so Isaac, when God says Isaac, he describes him as his only son. He was all Abraham had, Abraham's only son. Imagine if you were Abraham and God says, "Take your son, your only son." And your heart starts pumping, wondering what's coming next. Then he says, "the son whom you love." What's interesting here, and I love this study here, but this is the first time we find love in the Bible. It's the love of a father for his only son. As a matter of fact, if you look in the New Testament, in the Gospels, the first time each of the Gospels mentions love, except for John, it mentions the Father's love for his Son, Jesus Christ. In John, it mentions the Father's love for us, in John 3:16. But the first time love is ever mentioned in the Bible, it is the love of a father for his only son. God was referring here to Isaac, the person that was the most dear to Abraham. Isaac was Abraham's whole life, his pride and his joy. For 20 to 30 years now, he had poured his life into Isaac. his only son, whom you love, he says, and go to the land of Moriah. The land of Moriah would have been about 30 miles from where Abraham was in Beersheba. What's interesting about Moriah is that the mountain on which Abraham sets up to sacrifice his son is the mountain where one day the temple would be built, and they would sacrifice animals on that spot. Near this mountain, Jesus would become the ultimate sacrifice for sin, the one and only sacrifice. This area would become the capital city of the nation that God had promised to Abraham. There in the land of Moriah would be Jerusalem. He says, go to that land and to a mountain that I'll show thee there and offer him as a burnt offering. And this is definitely where Abraham's heart fell. In this test, Isaac was to be sacrificed. Now, we don't find God explicitly saying to kill Isaac, but barring some sort of intervention on God's part, offering him on the altar as a burnt offering is definitely a fatal thing. Isaac was going to die. It's interesting to note that all around Abraham, the pagan religions practiced child sacrifice to their pagan gods. But God had always required the sacrifice of a lamb. He comes to Abraham, he says, take your son, your only son whom you love. Go to a mountain that I'll show you and offer him there as a burnt offering to me. And then in verse 3, we see Abraham's response. It says in verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Abraham's response to God's request, it's nonverbal. We don't find him responding to God in words. We don't hear any questions or remarks. All we see is Abraham getting up early and obeying. He saddled his donkey. He was over 100 years old at this point. Okay, so he saddled his donkey because it was going to be a long trip for a 100-plus-year-old man to make. He took two of his servants. He brings his son Isaac. He even splits the wood for the offering. Everything that Abraham needed to sacrifice his son was completely packed. He did not allow himself an out. You know, he could have just gone up to the mountain unprepared and just said, well, you know, if there's wood, there's wood. If there's not, there's not. But he packed everything he needed for the sacrifice. He could have gone up to that mountain and said, sorry, Lord, I tried, but I just can't go through with it. I don't have what I need. But he packed everything he needed to go through with the sacrifice. Abraham obeyed with purpose. He saw to every detail. He planned ahead and obeyed with purpose. He made obedience happen. And you know what? We need to do the same. You know what we like to do? It's in our DNA. We love loopholes. We love loopholes. Well, Lord, I know what I'm supposed to do, but you know, I just can't. This happened and I just can't help it. And so I'm sorry, Lord, I tried. Abraham obeyed with purpose. He packed everything he needed. He packed the fire. He packed the wood. He brought servants with him to help carry it all. He was all set so that when he got there, he could go through with obedience. He obeyed with purpose. He didn't leave it to circumstance. He didn't look for a loophole or a way to get out of it. He obeyed. And we need to do the same. When God asks us to do something, do we put our everything into obedience to make it happen? Or do we look for the way out? Abraham's response was complete, purposeful obedience. The end of the journey here, we find in verse 4, it says, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide here with me, with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. Then Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. The end of the journey. This journey took 3 days to make. It was 30 miles on foot, 3 days to make. And this is where Abraham reveals the depth of his faith. He says to his servants, he says, "You stay here with the donkey. I and the lad will go up and worship." What's interesting about the word worship is it simply means to bow down to the will of God. It simply means to obey. You know, Abraham didn't have a band or a keyboard or an order of service. He went up and he said, "I and the lad are going to worship God." The worship here, the true worship, it's obedience. True worship is obedience. Obeying the will of God, submitting to Him. Worship is obedience. It's not singing a song or raising your hands or any of that emotional hullabaloo. It's just simple obedience that when you come before God and you bow down and you say, "You are Lord and I will obey," that is worship. Abraham said, "My son and I are going to worship the Lord in obedience." It simply means to bow down. And this is where his faith is revealed here. He says, "We're going to go yonder and worship and come again to you. I and the lad will come back." Abraham believed that Isaac was coming back because Abraham trusted in God's promise to make Isaac a great nation. This is what it says in Hebrews chapter 11. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." The faith of Abraham. This is what real, genuine, pure faith looks like. Abraham never questioned God's plan. Why? Because he believed 100% in God's promise. God said, "I want you to take your son, I want you to lay him on an altar, and I want you to kill him." And Abraham didn't say, "That's going to ruin all your plans, God. You just said you were going to build a great nation through Isaac. Did you forget?" No, Abraham didn't say that. Abraham believed in his heart of hearts that if he went through with obedience and killed his son, that God would still keep his promise to build a nation through Isaac. He believed that Isaac would even be raised from the dead because God would keep his promise. He believed in God's promise 100%. And here's the promise to remind you of. In Genesis 17, it says, "Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him." This is what Abraham was putting his faith in the promise of God. You know, Abraham's come a long way in believing in God's plan. Abraham's come a long way. Remember Hagar and Ishmael? Now Abraham, when faced with killing his only son, puts complete faith in the promise that God had given him. Abraham and Isaac here complete the last portion of their journey together. Here's a little bit of insight here. It says that Abraham laid the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac, his son. So Isaac was strong enough to carry all the wood they needed on his back. Abraham had to pack enough wood to burn a body, okay? And Isaac was strong enough to carry it on his back. Not an 8-year-old kid, okay? This is a grown man. And then Isaac asked the obvious question. He says, "Dad, you packed really well. We got lots of wood. We've got the fire. You've got a knife. Where's the animal?" And Abraham answers here. He says, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb." We'll get into the symbolism of that a little bit later here. But what I find fascinating here is that it says in verse 9, "Abraham built an altar and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son." Isaac is ready here for the sacrifice. Abraham builds the altar from the stones which were there. This was very rocky terrain. He lays the wood that Isaac had carried up the mountain on the altar. He ties up Isaac and lays him out on the altar, and then he draws the knife to kill his son. There's a reason I've been building up the fact that Isaac was a grown man. Because there's more than just Abraham's faith in this passage. Isaac was also willing to obey God. He was a full-grown man. I think he could have taken Abraham. Abraham was over 100 years old. And the Bible says that he bound him, he laid him out on the altar, and he drew the knife to kill him. And there is no way that Abraham could have done this without Isaac's cooperation. You know what this tells me? This tells me that Abraham's faith had been passed on to his son. It had been passed on to his son. And he had fulfilled the prophecy that God had made of him in Genesis chapter 18. God said of Abraham, I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Abraham's faith was passed down to his son, just like God said it would be. Because there is no way that Abraham could have gone through with this unless his son was willing to be obedient too. You know, in this passage here, just this first section, we find that Abraham's devotion to God took precedence over everything else in his life. When God came to Abraham and asked him to give him his most precious possession, his son, he did it completely, without hesitation, because God took precedence over everything else. And his faith in God was extraordinary. This is what it says in James chapter 2. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. The faith of Abraham here was extraordinary. I mean, he didn't ask any questions. He just went through with it. 100%. The Bible says he got up early in the morning. He packed everything he needed. He split the wood for the offering himself. And he obeyed. Without question. Without hesitation. I don't know if I could do that. We're talking about your boy. Your son. And Abraham, his faith was extraordinary. And not only was his faith extraordinary, he passed that faith on to his son Isaac. And Isaac was willing to go through with this as well because he believed in the God of his father. Well, I don't know how well some of us would measure up to Abraham, but I know that it's a big shoe to fill. If we got this call one day, we don't see this happen anymore, but if God called us out of heaven one day and said, hey, I want you to take that thing that you love most, and I want you to be willing to offer it to me. We'd be like Abraham, we'd get up early and we'd do it. Or would we have a few objections first? And then, do we have the kind of character that Abraham had where our children would have that kind of faith? Big shoes to fill. Abraham put to the test. And then we see God providing the substitute in verse 11. You can just feel the tension building here, and Abraham pulls out the knife and stretches his hand out to slay his son. In verse 11, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast but not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. The Lord intervenes here and he stops Abraham. It says angel of the Lord here, but we hear the angel of the Lord speaking of God as himself. So this is God. This is Christ speaking from heaven to Abraham. This is the very same Lord that Abraham had met on many other occasions. The one that had promised his son to him, the one that had promised the mighty nation that would come from him. And Abraham responds to the Lord much like he had before, ready and willing to listen. He says, "Here am I." I think I would have been ready to stop too if I were Abraham. Abraham had passed this test. We find that God did not want human sacrifice after all. Abraham had obeyed completely. He had offered his son to God. God said, "Offer him there," and Abraham did. And Abraham proved that he was truly willing to give all that he had to the Lord in order to be obedient. I love how his only son here, he says, "You have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." This is how dear Isaac was to Abraham, showing that he was willing to give the Lord his most precious possession. The Lord stops Abraham and then he provides the ram. Abraham looks up and he sees a ram there caught in the shrubs. And just as Abraham had told Isaac his son, God provided himself a lamb. On this same mountain, the temple would be built and many more lambs would be sacrificed for sin. And as a picture of that, this lamb was offered in Isaac's place. This was a substitutionary sacrifice. And Abraham names that place Jehovah Jireh. The name means God sees or God provides. Abraham and Isaac had had quite literally a mountaintop experience. And if Abraham's faith was strong before, imagine what his faith was like now. Strengthened his faith. This trial strengthened them because they obeyed. Had they disobeyed, they would have never seen God provide the lamb. Trials only strengthen us when we obey. Because when we don't, we miss out on seeing God for who He is. And we can't skip over the symbolism in this passage because the New Testament refers back to this all the time. But what this passage is, it's an Old Testament presentation of the gospel, is what this passage is. Isaac, the one and only son, was destined to die in order to appease God. God says, "I want you to give me your son, your only son, as an offering." And then after the announcement is made, it takes them 3 days to get to the mountain. 3 days. Jesus was 3 days in the tomb. The son, Isaac, willingly offered up his life for the sacrifice. But the substitute was provided by God himself. Here's what the Bible tells us about the sacrifice for sin. It says first that the wages of sin is death. Our sin demands payment. Our sin demands payment. The wages of sin is death. And somebody had to die in order to pay the price for our sin. That someone was Jesus Christ, the Lamb that God provided. This is what it says in Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took our place. He paid the penalty for our sin." That's what it says again in Isaiah. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him," Jesus Christ, "the iniquity of us all." In verse 24 of 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, "Who his own self," this is Jesus Christ again, "bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed." God provided the sacrifice for sin. His son, Jesus Christ, there close to where Isaac was offered, died on the cross and shed his blood His perfect sinless blood to pay the price for our sin. God provided Himself a lamb. And because of that, we are free from the penalty of sin because of His sacrifice. The wages of sin is death, we already said this, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It says again in Romans that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Because of what Jesus Christ did there on the cross, He paid the price. All of us deserve to die for our sin, to be punished in hell for our sin, to be laid out on that altar. But Christ stepped in and said, I will take the place of the sinner. Took on Him all the sin of the whole world and shed His blood so that we could know salvation. It was the ultimate act of love. That's what it says in 1 John. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God said, Abraham, take your son, your only son who you love, and offer him to me. And when it came to rescuing you and I from a punishment in hell, God says, I'm taking my son, my only son that I love, and I'm sacrificing him for you. It was love. The sacrifice on the cross that paid the price for my sin and for your sin, it was an act of love. Have you accepted that sacrifice for yourself? Have you accepted that gift of love that God has given to you, the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, to be rescued from the penalty for your sin? That's what this passage is all about. It's all about showing us the love of a Father in offering His only Son. And then we see, because of Abraham's obedience, we see in verses 15 through 24 that God offers promises and blessings to Abraham. It says, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. God gives new and old blessings here to Abraham. He reiterates his blessings to Abraham in establishing his descendants, that they would inherit the land, that they become a mighty nation. But he also reiterates the promise that the Savior, Jesus Christ, would come through his descendants. It says that through thee, through you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Kind of makes me wonder here with that statement. If Abraham had not obeyed, what would have that done to the picture of Jesus Christ? What would have that done to the picture of the Savior here? But God says, because you have obeyed my voice, in you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. That's us. All the nations of the earth have the gift of salvation. How many blessings have we missed out on because of a failure to obey? God says, because you've obeyed my voice. Because you've obeyed my voice and not withheld your most precious son, I'm going to bless you. How many blessings have we missed because we didn't want to obey? As a matter of fact, Abraham is, his extended family here is blessed by God. It says in the end of the passage that Abraham's brother has had children. What this does for us is it sets up the scene for Isaac to find a wife. Definitely couldn't find a wife among the people that Abraham was living by, the Philistines and all the other pagans that were there. This sets us up for this beautiful story of Isaac and Rebekah. And God's plan for Isaac was already starting to unfold. Here God was saying, I will bless you, I will build a great nation through your son. And proof of that is that God's plan for Isaac was unfolding right before our eyes. Rebekah was being readied for him. This section here, some application is that obedience brings blessing. God said, because you've obeyed me, because you've done this thing, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to build a mighty nation on you. Obedience brings blessings. So much so that our obedience may even lead to blessings on others. And this happens all throughout the Scriptures, where God's man goes somewhere, and because he's there, the people there get blessed too. Abraham's family was blessed. Our obedience may lead to the blessings on others. What we do today, it affects our children tomorrow. God already had a plan all laid out for Isaac. And what Abraham did, the faith that Abraham showed to his son, the blessings that God poured out on Abraham, it affected Isaac. It affected Isaac's children and grandchildren, all the way to the nation of Israel today. What we do today, it affects our children tomorrow and our grandchildren. One of the greatest things I find in this section here is that God's got a plan. God's got a plan. He was already in the works here, finding a wife for Isaac and preparing all of that. And we see that through the blessings that he poured out on Abraham's extended family. He's got a plan. He made the promise and he's already working that promise out. He has a plan. Genesis chapter 22, this story of Abraham offering up his son. You know, Abraham's faith is what got him through this difficult trial. If Abraham had no faith in God, what God approached him with would have ruined his faith in God. Okay, think about that. If Abraham didn't have much faith in the promises of God, and God came to Abraham that day and said, I want you to offer your son as a burnt sacrifice. And Abraham said, that's not the God I know. I'm done. This religion thing, I'm done. But Abraham had faith in God's promises, so much so that he assumed that God would keep his promise no matter what he asked Abraham to do. He was faced with God saying, here's a plan, Abraham, I want you to kill your boy. The boy that I promised everything to. And Abraham's faith was strong enough to say, if I kill him, God will raise him up. But if he would have had weak faith, he would have said, that's it, I'm done. I'm done. Abraham's faith is what got him through a difficult trial. And when he got through that trial, it made his faith in God even stronger as a result. Even stronger. There's a reason. There's a reason we gather around God's Word. There's a reason we get around God's people. Because the more we know about our God, the more faith we'll have to get through the tough times. If we don't come to church, and we don't read our Bibles, and we don't pray, then when the test comes up, when the trial comes up, you'll say, I'm done. It's too hard. But because of Abraham's faith, when the trial came, he said, all right, God, let's see how you do this. Let's see how you fulfill your promise. Abraham's testimony in his home is evidenced through the behavior of his son Isaac. Abraham had passed that faith on to his son. And my question for our families today is, how many of our children would be like this? Where if God came to us and said, I want you to lay your son, your full-grown son, on an altar and kill him, And we came to our boys, and you know, nowadays this wouldn't happen, but we went to our boys and said, hey, God wants me to do this. Would our sons look at us and say, hey, Dad, I have faith. Let's obey. Are we raising those kind of men? Are we raising those kind of men? Those kind of children? Are we like Abraham, where God said, I know him. He's going to build his family in faith. He's going to pass on faith to his children. Would our children stand up to this kind of test? Abraham's testimony, it's shown in the behavior of Isaac, because Isaac had faith to go through with this as well. And then God, we see God providing the substitute for Isaac. And not only did he provide a substitute for Isaac on that day, but on the day that Jesus gave his life on the cross, he provided the substitute for the whole world. He provided the substitute for the whole world, that one day, as John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. When Jesus died on that cross and shed his blood, that was the Lamb that God would provide to be the rescue from sin for us. Have you been rescued from your sin? Have you accepted Christ as your personal Savior? He's your substitute. And then finally, his obedience here. Abraham's obedience brought blessing in his life. Obedience brings blessing. This is not health and wealth gospel, okay? This is not put your money in the plate and we'll pray over every check. This is not what I'm talking about. This is God's blessings. This is God telling Abraham, because your faith in me is so strong, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to build a mighty nation from you. And because you've done this, through you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. You know, God wants to give good gifts to his children, the Bible says. Does our daily lifestyle, our actions, our attitude allow for blessing? Are we obedient? God said, because you've obeyed my voice, surely in blessing I will bless thee. Obedience brings blessing. You know, this is such an excellent passage of faith, but I hope that if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you'll latch on to this truth that God loved you enough to provide a substitute so that you would never have to experience hell. And last week, I sat on Art's bed and talked to him, and he was happy. He's laying in the hospital, and he said, you know, through all the diabetes and through my eyes and every fall, God's been so good to me. I wouldn't change a thing. And he had great peace and joy and confidence because of the substitute that he came to know as his own personal Savior. You don't have to leave here today without a doubt in your mind. Christians, you can go through the toughest times if you have a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because when the tough times come up, you'll say, okay, God, let's see what you can do.
We trust your heart has been blessed with this message from God's Word. We invite you to visit our services if you're in the area, or visit us again at our website, www.wealthypark.org. Join us again next week for another sermon. Wealthy Park Baptist Church, where our goal is to know Christ and to make Him known.